Observatory Radio.
It's Wednesday, September 9th, 2009. I'm Eric Troutman, and this is Observatory Radio. Today we feature an excerpt from an interview I recently conducted with novelist and comic book writer Greg Rucka. Greg is perhaps best known for a series of thrillers starring bodyguard Atticus Kodiak, the most recent of which is Walking Dead, in stores now. In addition, Rucka has penned dozens of critically praised and commercially successful comics and graphic novels, including his current run on DC's Detective Comics, which features a controversial new Batwoman, illustrated by J.H. Williams III. Along the way, Rucka has garnered a reputation for writing the meanest streets, the worst towns, and populating his stories with empowered, tough-as-nails female protagonists. On Friday, September 11th, 2009, the Dark Castle feature film Whiteout, starring Kate Beckinsale, Tom Skerritt, and Gabriel Macht, directed by Dominic Senna, hit screens nationwide. The film's source material is a pair of comic series, Whiteout and Whiteout Melt, which were both written by Rucka and illustrated by Steve Lieber. Greg Rucka joins us on Observatory Radio. So Whiteout, that was your first comics work, correct?
It was my first published comics work, yes.
Really? What was your first unpublished comics work?
My first unpublished comics work was a four-issue miniseries that I did with a friend of mine named Scott Nybakken, who actually now works for DC in the collected division, the collected editions division. Scott and I grew up in the same area, and we went to high school together, and then he went to Brown and I went to Vassar, and you know, we'd both been Marvel zombies in high school and
adolescence,
yes, and by the time we got to college, you know, he was the guy who turned me on to Cerebus and things like that. So and he is he's quite a talented artist, so we decided we would try to do a comic, and I wrote scripts, and I think he drew, I want to say, like half of the first issue, maybe all the first issue in the beginning of the second, and then he kind of threw up his hands and was like, I can't do this. And I was like, all righty. So, but I had actually dabbled in the form before the opportunity to do Whiteout came along.
So, if you don't mind my asking, and I can cut this from the from publication, but what was it about? I mean, what was...
Oh, it was, it was a hard-boiled vigilante... you know, noirish modern gunslinger thing. You know, it was somebody dispensing hot leaded justice on the streets of New York. You know,
it was a
you can see the you can see the roots there, and actually, if I remember correctly, it was a hot female protagonist. So
you started early then.
Yes, even then. Well, I don't know. Yeah, I wouldn't say I started early. I'd say I never stopped.
So, the irony
with Carrie, though, is that, I mean, everybody goes, oh, well, that was the inevitable one or whatnot. But Carrie actually was a character who first came to life when I was in graduate school. I wrote a one-act play, and she was one of three characters in this one act. And was a federal marshal in that. And then when Jen started at the University of Oregon in Eugene, and she was in the, you know, in the graduate English department there, there was a guy, Mike Arnzen, who's a horror writer, and who I think I've seen you responding to on Twitter. And he's teaching somewhere on the East Coast now, but he was getting his degree. And Mike had just published his first novel, which had won the Bram Stoker Award, and it was called Grave Markings, I think. And he and I would meet at this coffee shop near the U of O campus in Eugene, and we started doing a jam novel where he'd write a chapter and I'd write a chapter. And his chapters were, you know, mad serial killer, and my chapters were, you know, put upon cop, and I dusted off Carrie for that. So she actually had two iterations before she ended up down in Antarctica. See, these are little known facts, actually.
Yeah, this is fascinating stuff. I hit gold right off the bat. So the genesis of Whiteout, I mean, my understanding is that, like, you were talking with Bob Schreck at Oni, and did you have Whiteout in mind already?
Okay, well, again, here's another long story. The true genesis of Whiteout was that starting in 1991, Jen and I would go to San Diego, and as of 93, I think I was trying to get work in the industry. And again, Scott Nybach, and he was working at DC. This is all related.
Right.
He had, you know, I'd started getting the novels published, but I would still go to the con, and basically, you know, if an editor stood still long enough, I would pounce on them and say, you know, I want to do comics. And they would say, go away, kid, you bother me. And Nybach, and meanwhile in New York, had, you know, the books were coming out, and he would show them to the people he was working with. And his boss at the time was Patty Jarris, and Patty really liked my stuff. And Patty was like the only person who would be at the show from DC who would talk to me. And she would arrange for me to talk to people at DC, but it never went anywhere. She'd, you know. So ultimately what happened was Shrek left Dark Horse, and he and Nosemack started up Oni, and the year they were starting up, their first year at the con, Patty knew Bob. Patty put me and Bob together, and Bob and I had a meeting out on the back mezzanine level of the convention center.
Right.
Where I brought, you know, I had my novels at that point, I think, Smoker was about to come out in hardcover, I think.
Right.
And I handed him the books, and he had this look of horror on his face, and he said, you don't want to do these? And I was like, no, of course not, no. What I want to do is I have this idea for this murder mystery in Antarctica, and I think it would be really appropriate for the medium. And he seemed enthusiastic about that. He said, well, let me talk to my business partner, let me talk to Joe, and we'll read your stuff and we'll get back to you. And Oni was, I mean, they were just starting off. I think, you know, they were announcing that they were going to be publishing, what, the Bisley book, I want to say Bad Boy.
God, I don't even remember. I mean,
but anyway, so I met Joe at the con, and I guess they both read the books, you know. And shortly after we all got back, I got a call. We were still living in Eugene then. And I got a call and they said, yeah, we'd love to do something. So that started it rolling. I think I started writing the first script. I think I may have even written the first script before we had an artist. But that was sort of how that happened. So
you had the idea in hand already. So I'm just curious, like when was the thunderbolt moment for you, you know, for the genesis of the story itself?
My first literature was a guy named Peter Ruby. At some point in a conversation with him, he had mentioned to me that he had heard somewhere that there was a federal marshal stationed in Antarctica. And my first thought upon hearing that was, who do you have to piss off to get that job? I mean, did you sleep with a senator's kid? What did you do? You know, you had to do something wrong. And I was quite taken by that, you know, and I started doing research. And the more research I did about the environment and, you know, this was 10 years ago, and Antarctica and the way things are done in Antarctica have really changed radically between, you know, in those 10 years. It used to be that bases, the American bases, were serviced by the Air National Guard out of New York. It's no longer, you know, there's no Naval Support Force Antarctica anymore. You know, now it's all subcontractors. It's Bechtel and those guys.
Right.
And back then, the ratio of men to women was, during the summer season, it was one woman for every 200 men, and in the winter it went to something like 1 to 600. And you know, I was in Eugene in graduate school. I was being surrounded by all this gender set study stuff. I was, you know, already very interested in that and feminist issues. And it just struck me that you could not do this story with a male protagonist. You needed to have, you know, how could you miss that? You had to use it. So that was where, you know, I pulled Carrion, and that started that ball rolling. And these days it's very different. I mean, the ratio is nowhere near as stark. I fairly quickly learned also in short order that Peter had been wrong. There wasn't a federal marshal station down there. What happened? And this may have changed again, but at that time, what would happen is that the station manager at McMurdo would be deputized by the Federal Marshal Service out of Hawaii. So, you know, the whole thing was actually standing on a flawed assumption.
So you had talked about doing this jam novel with Mike Arnzen, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, through the confluence of events that led to you kind of coming up with Carrie being your lead for
for Whiteout.
Mm-hmm.
So were the scenes with, you know, the flashback scenes where she, you know, has her encounter with the gentleman under her custody.
That's actually from the one act.
Excellent. I was wondering.
That is actually from the one act. Was called Work Ethic. And it was, and the plot was, I had read a newspaper story about, I guess it was an FBI agent or a federal marshal. I think it was a federal marshal because I think that's how I'd found it. Who had been, it was the fugitive, except in real life. There had been this one guy that this guy had been after for like 19 years, which makes it seem like that was all he did. And obviously that wasn't, but right. That case had been open for 19 years, and he finally got the guy. And I had this idea, and I don't know why, that there was this prisoner transfer, and that this guy was transferring this prisoner via Denver, and they got snowed in. And they ended up having to hold up in a hotel room until, you know, the storm blew over. And then this guy would go to meet his destiny and so on. And I had Carrie was the local law enforcement character. She was the third character who entered to backstop the guy who had made the arrest. And it was basically three people locked in a room.
Right.
And, of course, there was history between Carrie and this other cop and stuff like that, so that it just sort of escalated. And understand, this was written by a 21-year-old, you know, who thought he knew everything there was to know about writing. So it's not very good. But the character, to me, had some merit, and I guess that's why she kept coming back.
I'm Eric Troutman. Thanks for listening to Observatory Radio. For the complete text of my interview with Greg Rucka and an interview with Steve Lieber that contains all kinds of behind-the-scenes information about the shooting of the Whiteout film and more about the genesis of the Whiteout comics and graphic novels, don't miss my column on MSN's Parallel Universe site.
Listening to Observatory Radio.